Mark Maskey covers the NFL for the Washington Post. He's been covering this NFL labor situation the whole time. And Mark, are we finally nearing the end?
Yeah, I think we're at the end. Now, how long the end takes, I mean, it could be today, the end of the day. I'm told it's going to be a long day of negotiations today. There still are, you know, 5-6 things that have to be dealt with. So if there are no more setbacks, no more snags, no more hassles, they could have an agreement in principle by the end of the day today. But we know how often it happens that things go on with absolutely no setbacks or snags. It doesn't happen very often. So it's at least a 50-50 chance, if not more than a 50-50 chance, that this goes on another few days before there's an agreement in principle. And then even after that, you know, each side has to approve it. You have to put it down on paper. The court case has to be dealt with. So the official end of the lockout is still a little ways off, and only after the official end of the lockout do we see free agency. But in terms of, you know, both sides shaking hands and verbally agreeing to a deal, that could potentially come by the end of the day today.
What got the rookie wage scale done, Mark?
You know, Vinny, I think what finally got that done and what finally got the whole thing done was, you know, they're finally staring at a deadline. They're finally staring at time running out to have a full preseason, maybe a preseason that doesn't include the Hall of Fame game. We'll have to see whether they salvage the first game of the preseason or not. But, you know, as you know, deadlines get things done in this sport. Deadlines get things done in negotiations. They were looking at losing some serious money for the first time with the cancellation of preseason games if they didn't compromise and get it done. So there was movement. You know, we'll have some kind of system when we see the final details where guys are signing four-year deals, except for maybe the first half of the first round. Those guys might be signing four-year deals with an option for a fifth season. The league finally agreed to put more money tied into that fifth season of those option year of the rookie contracts. So I think the calendar just dictated it was time for some movement, time for compromise, and that's what finally got it done.
I know the top 10 picks, Mark, in the fifth year, they get the average of the top 10 at their position. That's what got the top 10 done. What do picks 11 through 32 get?
You know, I think we're going to see that fifth-year option tied in. From what I heard late last night, I don't know if this will change. I think we're going to see some kind of fifth-year option at least through the guys in the first 16 picks in the draft. So we'll have to see how that mechanism works for guys who aren't in the top 10. I'm not sure we're going to see any fifth-season option for guys in the second half of the first round, or it will be, you know, more difficult for that option year to kick in. I think we could see those guys being able to sign just four-year deals. So we'll have to see how it all plays out. You know, the details of all of this will trickle out very soon. And as I said earlier, there still are a half dozen or so issues that still need to be worked out. I don't know that...
What's the biggest one?
They're going to be so problematic that they're going to make this fall apart. But, you know, there's still some things we don't know about this deal.
Ken Wyman and Vinny Serrato talking with Mark Maskey, who covers the NFL for the Washington Post. Mark, you alluded to it, but question, is there anything at this point that could make things fall apart? Or are we beyond that?
You know, I think that there's one big issue out there that for a long time I thought could be a big problem, and that's, you know, as a lot of people know, the NFL's labor situation since the early 1990s, that labor deal came about because of the settlement of a lawsuit, and because it did, then the NFL's labor situation has remained subject to oversight by a federal court in Minneapolis, Judge David Doty, ever since then. The league has very desperately wanted to get out from under that. They don't want this labor deal subject to oversight by a federal court. I've always thought that was a deal breaker from the league side. I continue to think it could be, but in the last, you know, 10 days or so, I've been told that that will be worked out, that there won't be a problem there that will cause this to fall apart. So as long as that's true, as long as those indications I've been hearing for the last 10 days or 2 weeks or so are true, I don't think there's a deal breaker left. If that's not true, if this is something that's still up in the air, I think that's probably the only potential deal breaker. The other things that are left in there, you know, talking about benefits for retirees, you know, you're talking about the rules of free agency and whether in this year's free agent class, teams will have those extra right of first refusal for a few players that enable them to keep those players by matching any contract offer. It works pretty much like what we've called a transition player tag in previous years. You know, are they deal breakers? I don't think they're deal breakers only because I think they'll work it out. Both sides will say we're not going to let this stop us from working it out. So, yeah, as long as that court oversight issue it is not going to be a major thing and is going to be worked out, which I've been told that that's how I've looked for the last few weeks, I don't think there's anything left. There are things left that could certainly slow us down, push it back a day or two, but I don't think there are things left besides that that would make it fall apart.
I thought the league gave in on Mark for league discipline to have retired judges be an arbitrator. I thought that was kind of the give and the take.
I'm told it's not exactly clear how that's going to work. I think when you talk about dispute resolution, you know, you're talking about two different things. You're talking about the big disputes that arise from the collective bargaining agreement. And under the old system, those went to a special master.
Right.
And then his decisions could be appealed to the federal court, to Judge Doty, and then beyond that to the Eighth Circuit Appeals Court, where we've seen a lot of this dispute play out. So that's one set of things, and then we'll see how that's dealt with. That's really the big issue. Now, will the what's being talked about with the formal judges, will that also apply to, you know, disciplinary decisions, drug case suspensions, personal conduct decisions? I'm not at all sure of that. I think that's still something we don't know the answer to yet. But when you talk about dispute resolution, really you're talking about two different things. You're talking about those cases that used to go to the special master, and in the big picture, that's very important to these parties. But then on a totally different level, you're talking about suspensions from the drug policy, suspensions from the personal conduct policy. And I'm not sure yet that we're going to see those appeal to anyone but the commissioner. Remember, those kind of decisions have always just appealed back essentially to the same guy who just made the decision, the commissioner or someone he designates. We'll have to see still if there's a change in that process. That's up in the air in my mind.
Mark, what are you hearing about guys that have gotten in trouble, guys like Kenny Britt, Pac-Man Jones, and even what James Harrison has said recently about those guys facing discipline once this is over?
You know, the league's position on that throughout has been that, you know, those kind of things, especially when it comes to the personal conduct policy, are subject to review by the commissioner. He can do, you know, essentially what he thinks is right, essentially what he thinks is in the best interest of the game. And just because the labor deal was not in effect and the personal conduct policy was not in effect during the lockout, doesn't mean that he can't now come back after the lockout and say, you know, this was something that didn't reflect well on the league, I'm going to take action. Now, that has been the league's position throughout this entire thing. We have to see, you know, what the player side had to say about this, what kind of issue they'll make it. And that's, again, that's one of the things that are still out there. I would think that would be something they would want to settle before there's a deal so that you don't have questions about that and arguments about that and disputes about that, whether the commissioner can do that or not after this is settled. I would think that would clearly be something that they would want to settle between now and when this deal is completed. And we'll have to see if they do, we'll have to see how that shakes out.
And Mark, I hear the cap's at 120. And what are you hearing about what the guarantee percentage is? And what is the $3 million exemption that they're talking about?
You know, it's funny. That's essentially the number that we were talking about back in March, that the first year the cap would be $141 million when you include everything, when you include salary and benefits.
Right.
And that just the salary part will be about $120 million. So that hasn't really changed much since March. You know, we'll see. That was the number that we heard pretty late in the day yesterday was agreed to. We'll still have to see if that really is how it comes out. I would assume that that's going to be the case, but there are a lot of other things about how the whole system will work in terms of free agency. You know, we talked about that. We're assuming it's going to go back to the old free agent system,
right,
where you were eligible for unrestricted free agency after 4 years, where you had the franchise player tags and the transition player tags.
I don't know what they're talking about. They need 3 days.
That's still going to be the same, but we'll just have to see where they come out at the end of the day. I don't think they've spent a ton of time on that yet, but that's something that we'll have to see where it comes out at the end of the day today.
What's the $3 million exemption they're talking about, Mark?
You know, the mean, I did hear some talk about that last night. I didn't really talk to people about the details of that lesson. But that's one you could probably answer for me better than anything else. But I think, again, I think the whole salary cap numbers are very, very similar to where they were in March. The one thing that they've dealt with that they hadn't dealt with in March was, you know, the money every year when revenues as a whole, for the league as a whole, go over the cap. They called it a true-up back then. That's been dealt with. You know, in the bigger overall picture, the players are going to be getting, you know, 47 or 48% of the revenues. And then another thing very important to players, you were talking about the minimums. I mean, the teams are going to have to spend 90% or more of what the salary cap figure is. They're going to have to spend it in cash. So you're not going to have a huge gap between what one team is spending and what another team is spending. You're going to get away from, you know, what I've always called the baseball model, where the Yankees or the Red Sox are vastly outspending other teams. Those teams that in the past have held back and not spent up to the cap on players are going to have to do that now, and that's a very important thing to the players. And so you're going to see that money being spent, and you're going to, you know, see teams that haven't always been up to the cap. Now they're going to have to do it because it's going to be part of this deal.
Ken Wyman and Vinny Serrato talking with Mark Maskew, who covers the NFL for the Washington Post. Mark, last thing for me. You used to cover the Orioles. The Orioles have lost 8 in a row and 13 of 14. What happens first? The NFL announces a labor agreement or the Orioles win again?
That's a good thing. That's going to be a tough race because, you know, the NFL obviously gets the first shot of it. I would say probably the Orioles win a game just because, as I said, I think there's a chance that we get the NFL labor deal by the end of the day today. I think there's a better chance it goes on another day or two. So the Orioles are probably going to have a few more shots at it. I'll go with the Orioles, but it's a very close race.
Mark, from the people I've talked to, probably you've talked to probably a lot of the same similar people, and from what I hear, free agency is already started. Agents are talking to teams. Teams are talking to agents. Money is being discussed. And, you know, agents are aligning who's interested, who's not interested. They're narrowing the list as we speak.
Well, then we know that nobody in the NFL would have a conversation with an agent about a player that they're not supposed to have. I mean, we know that never takes place, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you had to assume that that was, that at least some of that was going on, you know, all the time, you know, going all the way back to March and the build-up to when free agency would have started if we didn't have a lockout. I mean, you had to think even at that point teams had a pretty good idea of what direction they're headed. And, you know, now the free agency rules will go back to what they were. So I don't think anyone's been thrown a huge curveball. I think whatever plans they had back then probably still apply now, and you're just going to have to do it very quickly. That's the thing. You can have all the conversations you want. You can have everything lined up how you want. But nobody is obligated to stick to that now. You know, any conversation, if you made a deal with somebody that you weren't supposed to make and you said, okay, we got this all lined up and ready to go, if that person decides they want to go another direction, well, too bad for you. So,
right. I mean, an agent's never done that.
It's going to be a flurry, and the teams that did their homework and were ready to go back in March are the teams that are going to be still ready to go and ready to thrive when this gets going.
Ken Wyman and Vinny Serrato talking with Mark Maskew, who covers the NFL for the Washington Post. Mark, as always, appreciate your time. Hopefully soon you'll be able to write about actual football again.
Yeah, I think we're getting back to that. I think we're getting close now, guys.
All right, thanks, Mark.
Yep, thanks, you guys. See you, Vinny.
Yep.
Mark Maskew covers the NFL for the Washington Post. Sounds like there's light at the end of the tunnel. I don't think it can be derailed at this point.
Sounds like it's just a matter of when, how soon it gets done. You know, and I'm hoping that today... Doesn't sound like today, maybe tomorrow, if they meet in tomorrow, if they go real late tonight. You know, it seems like owners don't like to go over the weekend, so maybe stay late tonight so they can have their Saturday and Sunday.